You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast.
Dude, I got to ask about these McDonald's prices, though. What's going on, man?
You know what? If I had an answer for that, then I would tell you. It's more of a corporation thing.
Yeah, so I know. I read a story, I think it was last week, that I think it came out from McDonald's. I'm not sure, but they were talking about lowering prices. But they're doing the thing, I think, that a lot of places are doing where, like, there's great benefit if you order in the app.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't do that, then you're just kind of hosed.
when it comes down to it, like, I have a lot of customers that are like, oh, yeah, can I get my discount and all this and that, like, wanting all these discounts. And when it comes down to it, I just tell them, like, you know, if you download the app, there's a 25% off discount code, and you can use it for any mobile order you want any time of the day. Well, I don't want to download the app. And, you know, most of my customers are over the age of, like, I want to say 50. So it's not like they're too technologically, like, I don't know what word to use. They're not very good with technology. So me explaining it to them, like, oh, yeah, you can download the app. Then they're like, well, that's too much work, you know.
Yeah.
Just why can't my hamburger be 89 cents again? I don't know. It's just things like that. But,
yeah. When is the ice cream machine going to start working again?
I think they said, like, 2056. That's when they said it was going to be working again.
We have a year.
I'm sure you hear these questions all the time.
I do.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, you're good. A lot of the questions, you know, it's the same thing. It's kind of like you said, it's the corporation behind it. You know, it's answers that I wish I had, but I don't. And I have to give the bad news. Like I can't do anything about it. I get like cussed out sometimes because people are so mad. Like, why can't you do anything about this? I'm like, ma'am, sir. Like I there's nothing I can do. I'm just the messenger here. They send me an email. I have to distribute that email to you guys via speak, like, you know, but that's just part
You're
of
on the front lines
every day
in the battlefield.
Every day of my life, I feel like I have this little laser just pointed right here. And there's just like that one guy. It's like, one day you're going to make me so mad. But
do you have pretty normal hours?
Yeah, I can make my own schedule, so I can have any day off I want. I can go in anytime. I'm salaried 45 hours, but it's just like, you know, the good thing about having your own schedule and being able to make it, there's also, like, you know, there's trust behind it. It's the honor system. Mm-hmm. So, as, you know, having my dad as my boss, it kind of sucks because I live a mile away. So if he's home and I'm home when my schedule says I'm not supposed to be, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I have to make up an excuse for why I left work today. But it's pretty chill. Today I work 7 to 4, tomorrow 9 to 3, because I have a meeting. You know, some days we'll have a meeting, it's like 2 hours long, but that counts as a full work day. So I'm like, sick. That's, you know, I can go home and do whatever I want, spend time with my wife. But it's, like I said, when it came down to like what I went to college for and like the door that God opened for me, I don't think that I would be in the spot where I am today if it didn't come down to like the schedule I have, like where I work, the friends I have, you know, the connections I've made, and just my wife in general, like, and my bosses, my dad as well, just everything I'm allowed to do just so freely is amazing. And I'm 23 years old and I don't ever see, and this isn't like a bad thing, but none of my friends that I went to high school with or even now, like, that are my age, none of them are doing this or have the freedom that I do. And it allows me to, you know, like I said, spend time with my wife, make time for friends, go hunting, all these fun things that I know a lot of people are locked up in their 9 to 5 and can't do.
So now that we've kind of talked about what you do, why don't you introduce yourself, since we're kind of recording a podcast tonight?
So my name is Logan Bryant. I'm a small town boy from Seymour, Missouri, and I love to hunt. Outdoors is my passion.
For all the Missouri residents, he is not Amish. Just throwing that out there. You'll get that reference if you're from Missouri.
I will say that all of my closest neighbors within like a 10-mile radius are mainly Amish. I think my only neighbors that aren't are my parents and grandparents. That's pretty much it, man. But, small town. I grew up on a 4-acre farm and ended up purchasing, by the blessing of God, you know, almost 300 acres and, you know, being privileged enough to hunt on that. But, yeah, I don't have a lot to me. Pretty chill, open book, very extroverted person. I love to talk, love to make friends and get some good connections, so...
Did you grow up around here?
Yeah. I grew up in Seymour.
Okay. So Where did you go to school in Seymour?
Like Seymour.
The Amish
school. I'm like, do they even have a school?
They do. Seymour? They do. It's a, I believe this year they're an R3. So nothing compared to like your Springfield R12s. I mean, we played, so like in sports, we would play like some Springfield schools, not like Kickapoo, because I mean, that's, we would get destroyed. But Seymour was a small school. If you're familiar with like the Fordland area, like Rogersville, even, they're around the same size. They have, like, I think their population is like 3,000, 4,000 or something. If I'm wrong, someone correct me. I drive through there every day, so I should know this. But it's a small town, but it's big enough to where it feels cozy, but not too big to where it feels crowded. I mean, everyone knows it. I mean, that you drive straight through it. If you blink, you'll miss. But it's something that I love to call home because I have good connections. You know, a lot of my family, all my family mostly have grew up there. But
so what'd you do for fun growing up? Like what's there to do in Seymour?
So, like I said, I grew up on a farm. Well, I say farm, it was just cattle, chickens, not like we didn't farm crop. We didn't have anything like that. No big tractors or anything. It was a cozy little ranch type deal. So my grandpa had like 85 acres and, we had four. So combined, you know, because my dad built on his dad's property.
We've all heard the saying, a picture tells a thousand words, and the same can be said for deer mounts. A skull on the wall represents so much more than just a successful hunt. It represents the culmination of lots of work, some luck, and rich memories with friends and family. At Just One, we like to hang our skulls with skull hangers from Kibosh Outdoors. The hangers are secure, super easy to set up, and made in the U.S. They even have hangers for as little as $9 to get your skull sitting proudly at the perfect angle. Go check them out at KiboshOutdoors.com or follow the link in our bios and use code JUSTONE at checkout to save 10% on your order.
You know, I'd go out and I'd ride a dune buggy or the four-wheeler, and I'd go outside and take my grandpa's shotgun when my dad wasn't watching and maybe shoot some quail. But just fun stuff like that, you know, growing up in the country, you know, being able to do what I want, not having like any, well, obviously I follow the laws and, you know, regulations of you can't do certain things or it's illegal. But, you know, to me, I just feel like I had a lot of freedom and I grew up just having fun on the farm, doing stuff with my grandpa with cattle and, you know, racing in our dune buggies and in the fields and flipping them 20 times going down a hill, but like just little things like that, something to make a lot of fun memories about.
Right on. How did that transition into hunting? Cause I know you and I had talked and you got started hunting at a young age.
Yeah.
So what's kind of your hunting background?
So when it comes to hunting, I've hunted my whole life, you know, since I was a kid, since I could pick up a rifle and my dad's like, hey, you pull the trigger, I'll aim for you. I think I was four when I went hunting my first time. I don't have a lot of proof for it, but I love to hunt. It's just, you know, kind of like we've spoke about Amish. Amish, I wouldn't necessarily say they poach, but they hunt all season long, no tags. They kill as many as they can, and they don't care where they're at. You know, we've caught a lot of Amish on our property before we technically owned it. We had permission to hunt. We're the only people who could, and, you know, they'd poach. But growing up hunting, ever since I can remember, I've had a rifle in my hand, something, because I just love the outdoors. My grandpa would take me and we would hunt in a blind for, you know, we'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and get out there by four, which I don't really see a point because I'm out there for 3 hours before the sun comes up, but he wanted to do it. And that's what kind of sparked it in me. I'm an early riser. My wife is not, so hunting is kind of hard for me because that requires me to wake her up. But yeah, I've been hunting my whole life. I picked up bow hunting last year really hard. I've shot a bow since I was 12, but I never really took it hunting. And this, you know, last year I strictly bow hunted. I didn't use a rifle at all. I mean, I took a rifle, but I didn't use it. I had both a rifle and a gun just in case there was something that was like, okay, that's a giant. I can't shoot it with an arrow. But it's always been a part of my family. Ever since my grandpa was a kid, he hunted when he was 12 up until, you know, a few years ago because he's just getting to the point to where, you know, sitting in a stand or a blind is for too long is just difficult for him. Mm-hmm. So it's always been around in my family, and it's something that, you know, I plan to take as a tradition to my kids. And just, it's, for me, it's a spot to where I can just release and relax and just talk to God. You know, people, they have their prayer rooms, and, you know, I had one growing up, but to me, I get the most out of God when I'm in his creation, when I'm actually in the woods, when, you know, I'm looking at my Bible and I'm getting chills right now. I was talking about it. When I'm looking at my Bible on my phone and I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm asking God to give me signs and just to talk to me in the silence, because there's nothing like sitting in the woods, hearing nothing but your own thoughts and just the wind and God's creation and just being able to take it in. And I know that's like kind of a rabbit trail. We went from how'd you grow up hunting to where I am now. But, you know, that's kind of how I stuck with it. Even when I was a kid, I went from, you know, knowing God and growing up in church and going from being in the woods all the time by myself. Well, not always by myself, but getting that peace and that, like I could say, like meditation in the Holy Spirit from a young age, to where I think that's why I love it so much now, because it's something I've done forever. And it's something that I can't explain the feeling. And I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about when you're in the woods and you have that feeling of just overwhelming peace, like everything's going to be okay. God's in it. Cause that's, like I said, I speak to God a lot when I'm hunting. If I don't kill a deer, I know that I got something out of it. You know, I grew my faith. I got to pray for somebody, and not to say that that's the only time I ever do spend time with God, but that's usually the time that I hear the most, because it's quiet and it's time just to get away, mainly from my wife. I'm just kidding.
Hopefully she doesn't listen to this.
I love you, Morgan. But no, that's why I love it, and I'm glad I've grown up with it.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think, you know, that's something we've talked about a lot on our podcast, is just, it's not always about going out and killing something. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, we get to, you know, harvest that meat, provide for our families. But we also have those times to spend time with God and just spend time in his creation, looking at things. Like, it, one of my favorite hunts from, what was that, 2 years ago, was Cam and I were saddled in the same tree, and we had just about every animal. We were up in Nebraska, had just about every animal you could have come by us, and had two bald eagles swoop down below us through a creek bottom. And it was just kind of like watching it all interact, and how, you know, how some things left each other alone, or how other things kind of came to each other and butted heads. It was really cool just seeing creation in undisturbed, because none of them saw us up in the tree. It was really cool to watch and experience that. And, you know, that tops a lot of the hunts that we went on where we killed a deer. And that's something that I find really special. So with that, though, I wanted to ask, what made you switch and kind of pursue bow hunting more? Like, why bow hunting over rifle hunting this kind of over the last year?
So for me, like when it comes down to it, I love rifle hunting. You know, I don't mind it. I'll always do it. But it became like too easy. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, it's cheating or it's this and that, but I wanted more of a competition, more of a, you know, like, okay, I have to work for this. Like, if I have a deer at 60 yards with a rifle, you can drop it. With a bow, you're battling the deer fever, you're shaking in your stand or saddle, and you got to hold your bow steady and trust in your shot that you make a clean shot. Because I can tell you, there's nothing worse than making a bad shot on a deer and having that feeling until you either find it, or even if you don't find it, there's nothing worse than that. So to me, it's a chase, and it's something that I strive for. And, you know, I've shot a bow since I was like 12. I think my first bow was this little bitty bear that my dad got at Walmart, but I loved it. But there's just something about bow hunting that it triggers me in a good way more than rifle hunting does, because with a rifle, anything within 200 yards is a dead shot. I'm not going to miss. It's going to be, you know I'm going to hit it. I know I'm going to get it. But with bow hunting, there's that competitive edge that you have to be good. You have to trust your shot. You have to know your placement is going to be right where you need it. And to me, that's why I do it. That's why I love it. That's why from last year to now, like, I've grown to appreciate it more. And it helps me appreciate, you know, my harvest afterwards. When I, you know, I scouted for 2 months straight, I put food plots out, and I, you know, I picked my favorite tree. I hung a stand in it and was in it 3 days, you know, a week, because like I said, I work and I can't, you know, have the freedom yet to just go out whenever I please. Mm-hmm. And getting that, you know, that mega giant that you've been tracking for, or that you've had on your camera for 2 months, and just seeing, or seeing that deer progress into some 180 inch deer, even a doe, you know, harvesting a doe, something you provide for your family, you know, is so much better when you, you know that you shot it with a bow rather than just pulling a trigger and watching it drop in front of you. Mm-hmm. Tracking the deer, following it to the, you know, the deer itself, and just being able to take in all your effort, everything that's went into it, it's over for this final moment, and it's just breathtaking.
Yeah, I think that effort piece that you're talking about is a big part of it. Like, anyone can go out and shoot a gun, and I say that. I've missed some shots with a gun. I know Austin has, maybe not you. 200 yards isn't a giveaway. It's not automatic, but the bow hunting, like, for me, and I feel the same for Austin probably too, it was frustrating because when we first started, we didn't really have success, and a lot of it was because of equipment, but we weren't practicing very much either. And like, we kind of threw it out and just went to crossbows, and it didn't provide that satisfaction that, you know, effort will give you. And so we kind of did the crossbow thing for, I don't even know, a season. Yeah, man. Something like that. And it just didn't have that same feel. It didn't have the satisfaction. And there definitely is something to like practicing. And I wouldn't say practice all year. I know you guys practice all year. Yeah. I haven't touched my bow in like 2 months, but,
Shame. He comes out of here and shoots bullseye.
No, seriously, that's what he does. He'll take 2-3 months off and then come out and whoop us all when we're shooting. It's like, dude, where are you getting this from?
I got to take care of this shoulder. You're trying to hurt my shoulder today. No, I picked up golf, and I've been absolutely addicted to golf, and I don't need another hobby by any means, but it does kind of wedge itself in right after hunting season. My fishing this year might take a one-off hit due to golf, but anyway, it's the same sort of thing to golf though. Like, there's something to that where you're, you know, especially starting something new that you maybe didn't grow up doing, or even if you did, you're not very good at, and then like you can actually see improvement at. I mean, it can be bow hunting, it can be golf, it can be soccer, it can be anything. There's a lot of satisfaction in that, and it makes it so much more fun when like you actually see progress at it. So I feel like I'm rambling at this point, but I'm on the same page with you. And shooting your guys' bows today makes me want to get a new bow. And I kind of like chalk that up to a couple months down the road, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, now. For sure.
I was so happy that he decided to shoot your bow, because you don't understand how long I've been like, dude, just shoot it. Like, it doesn't matter. And I knew once he shot it, he'd be wanting a new one. But at the same time, I was like, come on, dude, I got this new bow. I've been shooting it. I shoot it well. And you're not willing to shoot my bow. It's making me mad. But
yeah, I feel like I had to be polite, and you kept on me. So I was like, I'm just meeting him. I can't tell him that's no 3 times in a row. So
it's like, you know what? I'll shoot it the next 5 times after I meet you. I'll shoot it, you know, 2 months down the road, you know.
They're a lot faster than my bow too, mm-hmm. for sure. I mean, it's noticeable pretty much in every category you want to talk about, whether it's vibration, sound, or speed. Like, there's a difference for sure.
You shoot the no cam, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. Like, it's a, I think 2016-ish, 2015, 2016.
It's a good bow. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, an entry level bow.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for what I got it for, and I wanted like a higher quality, but didn't really want to pay a bunch when I got it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been great for me. I haven't really missed much with it. So I really liked it, but now I'm kind of far enough from where the technology is, mm-hmm. is peaking that I'm like, all right, it's a big enough difference at this point. Oh, yeah. And I do it enough. It's probably worth just getting something there.
Like that's the position I was in because, you know, I have that V3X. Great bow. Matthews does not disappoint. And I'm sure you can say the same thing for Hoyt. I, you know, I've only shot a Hoyt.
Hoyt's better.
But okay. Let's not get into that here on the podcast.
How many elk have you killed?
That's, in real life or on the hunting game? Because I have a hunting game. Okay. Like, I have a bunch of diamond trophies I can show you.
Have you been elk hunting?
I haven't. I'm going.
There you go.
Virtually elk hunting. Virtual elk hunting.
Yeah. But, you know, like I can say, like the V3X is a great bow. And I, at first, you know, the first bow I ever had, it was a Diamond Bowtech Infinite Edge. I still have it. Like my first, like, flagship is what you could say. Excuse me. I shot it forever. You know, I shot it until I was 18, 19 years old. And then I was like, it's, you know, the draw length that was maxed out. You know, my poundage was at 70. There's only a 40% let off. So it was really, really difficult on it. So holding that thing back is a struggle. Sure. But, you know, and then I was looking at the V3X in like 2022, and because it was their new flagship bow that just came out, and it was like July when I was looking at it, and I was telling my dad, this is when I lived at home still, because Christmas is coming up, like, I want a new bow, like, this is like the only thing I want, and I'm just getting into archery, like, I'm taking my Diamond at the time, hunting every day, you know, I have a little Apex 3-pin sight, this little, like, True Glow, super short, like, 2-inch stabilizer. And I'm like, this is it. This is like the thing. I'm going to slay some giants here. Not to say I can't, but, sure. You know, with the better equipment, you can do more things with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard bringing like, you know, a $1,200 setup to your parents and saying, hey, buy me this for Christmas or ask them to. It's difficult.
Right.
That's kind of like the only thing I wanted because, you know, I was 22, you know, I buy everything on my own. I'm like, this is the only thing I want. You know, we kind of know like what we're going to get for Christmas around the budget wise. And that was, you know, well within what they were going to spend on the kids and stuff. I'm like, this is the only thing I want. And, you know, my dad's like, I'm not doing that. We got to get you more gifts as well. Anyways. So we went to Bass Pro talking to the guys there, the archery department. He was just like, hey, let's, you know, what's the best bow right now? And he pulls out this Hunting Public, the Bear Adapt, the RTH, sets it down fully loaded. It was like $450. And, they ended up getting that for me for Christmas and I loved it. It's 32, 31 and a half, I think 32 axle to axle. It's a solo cam. So it's super steady, super lightweight, carbon riser. And it's super forgiving because it's a solo cam. And, I shot that for 6-7 months and I got really good, but there was only so much I could do. You know, I kept putting pieces on and I got a QAD Ultra Rest from a Whisker Biscuit. And then I got, you know, some Redline stabilizers and threw it on there instead of the trophy ridge that came with it. And so I kept piecing, you know, piece by piece, getting more and more equipment on it until I was like, you know what, this is, you know, there's only so much I can do with this bow. Mm-hmm. So then I went to James River Archery and I bought the V3X because the Phase 4 came out and it's a new flagship bow and they marked down their V3X like $700. Like that was it. I was like, that's a deal. And I have some pretty good connections through the guys at James River Archery just throughout the years, and which is, you know, grateful. But I got the whole setup. I think it was $1,200, which, you know, that was a big purchase for me. Yeah. And, you know, it did the job. It was great. And then, you know, as the years went on, you know, 2 years down the road, and I got the lift, you know, last week, and which is, it's hard, you know, to say that I have that now, like the flagship bow, but it's like I said, Matthews does not disappoint. Going from shooting all of my bows, like shooting my Diamond that I still have compared to the lift, it's just outrageous. From 2014 and a different brand, mm-hmm. completely to shooting it now. And, you know, something that I've always said is it doesn't come down to the bow. It comes down to the archer behind it. You know, if you are trash at archery and you pick up the flagship bow, you know, you're not going to do good because you're not good. You have to be developed. You have to practice. So it doesn't come down to how good of a bow you have. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. They think they have to have the nicest, you know, newest thing to get the job done. I mean, it helps tremendously when you have, you know, you're pulling 80 pounds and, you know, you're on an elk hunt and you have to make a 120 yard shot and your buddy only has a 65 pound draw. Like, obviously it helps having those different things. But like I said, it comes down to the archer. Crispy has, I'm sorry, I'm talking so much.
No, you're fine. You're good. Keep going.
Crispy has a really nice video on it. I mean, he bought a mission bow. I think his whole setup was like $450. And he shot a tack with it at the 100-yard caribou target, and he won, you know. And it just goes to it goes to prove that it doesn't come down into the equipment you have. It's how you use the equipment and how, you know, do you trust yourself with the piece that you have.
Yeah, I was just going to add, for me, when I first got into it, I had like a diamond edge.
We both shot like diamond edge.
Yeah, so it pretty cheap bow. And for me, I just didn't even enjoy shooting. So like, I think there is that like balancing aspect where, yeah, it definitely is up to the person behind the bow and the archer, but I couldn't even get into it just because I didn't even like shooting the bow.
Yeah. I think the equipment has to match the archer too. And not saying like, obviously, you know, the more you spend, the better the bow, there's a difference in the quality. But for me, a Hoyt, at least before the lift, I do like the lift, but the Hoyt was the better bow for me and how I had grown up, and it just fit my, I guess, style more than a Matthews did.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cam, on the other hand, he prefers the Matthews, at least I think as of now, you know, the 2016 Matthews. But, you know, there's those differences where you're, every bow, like we shot three different bows today, mm-hmm. two from Matthews, and they all shoot different. So, you know, so maybe not even, you could go straight into just, you're getting a Matthews, shoot the Phase 4, shoot the lift, shoot the V3X, you know, shoot even the older ones to see what fits you, because the lift may not be the bow for you as an archer.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that makes a huge difference in your capabilities when you go and have to shoot longer range, whether yeah. that's at tack or on an actual hunt.
A lot of people, you know, they think, you know, Matthews is a very, you know, true brand. They've made a name for themselves. Same with Hoyt. People think getting into archery, oh, if I want a nice bow, I got to get a Matthews. There's Prime, there's Elite, there's PSE. You know, they all have 80 pound limbs. You can get 80 pounds out of a bow. No one ever, at least the people I've talked to, getting into archery, or they've done it in the past and are getting back into it, like, oh, I got to get a Matthews, but I don't want to spend $2,000+.
Buzzard Roost saddles made right here in the great state of Louisiana should be on every Louisiana bow hunter's list as a must-have in their hunting arsenal. Buzzard Roost saddles achieves comfort through adjustability for those long day sets during the rut, and also provides the maneuverability to get up and move when you see the need. Buzzard Roost Saddles was created with the need to lighten the piro as well as the backpack to go deeper than everyone else. Louisiana bow hunters are a mixed bag, and Buzzard Roost Saddles is the tool to fit any job. Whether it's public land, private land, hardwoods, pines, or even the bottomless swamps, Buzzard Roost Saddles has what you need to stay mobile.
There's Elite, like I said, there's all these other, even Bear. Bear Archery, they have so many good bows. Like, I mean, what is it? Is it, who has the carbon one? Is it Bowtech?
Bowtech.
Yeah, Bowtech, a great brand. Like,
and I had the carbon one. I love the bow, but it did not fit me. Like, so I had the, I don't know, if you've been following us a while, you know I had the carbon one. And I had that up to a month before I went on the elk hunt. And looking back, I wouldn't have killed the elk if I had the carbon one. It was strictly because I had the Hoyt that fit me better.
Yeah.
And I was able, I felt more confident in the shot. It wasn't, I'm sure the carbon one could have hit the target, but I felt more confident in the Hoyt. And it makes a difference.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I was going to just toss in here too. After shooting those three, like, with every bow being different, it does put into perspective a little bit how people can find a bow that they really like, and then they kind of, they always want to shoot that bow. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy that I bought my no cam from, it's, so it went through a couple of changes of hands, got to me, and then this guy reached back out this year, and he's like, hey, do you still have that? Like, I'd like to buy it back. And he shoots a brand new Matthews. And I've got another buddy who, he's like, man, if I could find this bow, and it's a few years old, I don't even remember what it is now. He's like, if I could just find that bow, I would get one in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And like, I can totally see now how every bow is just so different that it's definitely likely that you find one that you kind of like, you know, you just can you get connected with a little bit more. It just feels natural for you.
You have to think, like, at one point that was the flagship bow.
Right.
Like that solo cam, that was the flagship bow at one point, and people grow to love it. And, you know, kind of like what I said earlier, like when it comes to people getting into archery because they've done it, you know, they did it like a few years ago and they're getting back into it. You don't have to shoot a Matthews. You don't have to shoot a Hoyt. Shoot what's comfortable for you. Shoot what makes you better. You know, you don't have to shoot this super top of the line $2,500 setup. You might shoot amazing. You might shoot even better with, you know, something that's way less expensive, super budget friendly, that makes you a better shot. Doesn't like, but it doesn't mean to say like nicer equipment might get you a better group or might, you know, you might have better timing because there's more adjustments you can make to your cams or whatever. But it ultimately comes down to what makes you better and what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So your hunting background, is it all deer? You've got a elk hunt planned, right? First one.
Hopefully, yes. I have, like, they're in the making. My cousin's going on one in New Mexico, and he was like, we can go, but it's going to be, like, you know, like $6,000. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I don't just have $6,000 laying around. You know, I'm newly married, getting my wife a car this year, and I can't just pull $6,000 out of my pocket. And, you know, he's been hunting for, you know, they got him and my, like, it's my cousin's husband, and I call him my cousin because I just, it's easier. But they've been married for, you know, 24 years. You know, whenever they first got married, like I was, they were 23. You can't just pull $6,000 out and say, oh, I'm going to go now, cut. Right. You know, my boss has land in Colorado and Iowa and a bunch of the other states as well. And, you know, he's fortunate enough to say, hey, if you want to go on a hunt, I'll take you on a hunt. You know, he has 300 acres in Colorado that butts up to 1,000 of conservation land that he has, you know, permission to hunt with a guide. And, you know, he's a guide himself. So, you know, if I ever did want like to really do this and really go on an elk hunt, which the plan is to do, you know, obviously I believe that praying and fasting is something that's important when it comes to big decisions. I can't just wake up and say, oh, yep, I'm going to go on elk hunt in, you know, July or wherever. You know, I believe in praying about it to hear the answer from God, because if God doesn't say yes, I'm not going to do it, because everything has a purpose and a plan through him. But, you know, if I really wanted, I could say, hey, Chip, you know, I want to do this. Help me draw a tag. And he could get me a tag and I can make it happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hopefully in the near future that does. But, you know, whitetail have always been my desired game to hunt because I've never really had the privilege to do anything else. I would love to go, you know, out west to Kansas or somewhere and shoot a mule deer. It'd make me happy. I would love it. That's a dream. You know, hopefully in the near future, it's a dream that can come true, because, I mean, I would love to have a nice 5x5, just, you know, somewhere that I can appreciate. But I've only hunted whitetail, never went black bear hunting, really. I mean, I went turkey hunting. I guess I could say that. I turkey hunt every year. I've never killed one, but I go every year.
Dude, me too. Let's go.
I go every year. I mean, I have trail camera pictures. I can pull one up. I can show you all these different turkey. I have, like, I'm not kidding, probably 50 underneath my stand, if I can even find this. Yeah, like here's some here, and then right here. I mean, look at all of them. Everywhere. My stand is right there.
Yeah. So turkey, they're one of those things that, like deer, take deer for example. If I hadn't killed a deer in the last 4 or 5 years, I wouldn't still be hunting.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I'm gonna go turkey hunting, and I'm excited to go. It's ridiculous.
I think it just comes down to the hunter inside of us. Like, we want that. Yeah. You know, you're going for it. You've been practicing. You've been preparing for a long time for us, you know. You're not Austin here and have a giant tall mound on your wall, but
that is my one. So I'm not too far in front of you guys. I have killed three. Two Tom, or I guess a Tom, a Jake, and then I actually killed a hen. That was the first one I killed. Two with my bow, one with my shotgun. So, I mean, really, I only count one as killing one because the other two were just kind of like, oh, hey, here comes a turkey. Yeah. I'll shoot it with my bow.
Yeah, I did that this year. So I have killed one, but I don't really count it. I mean, it was an awesome experience. It was cool. I do remember walking up on the bird this year. It was a cool feeling because it was like this thing that's eluded me for years, but it was in the middle of the fall and not the spring, and everyone wants to kill one in the spring.
Like, I was deer hunting this year, and I had a turkey. I just bought residential tags. You know, I have farm tags, but I purchased them before I got the farm tags. So it came with two turkey and two deer, any antler, and then the turkey tags. I'm going out to my stand, and I see turkey from, you know, probably 20 to 30 yards away. And I'm like, but I'm not going to shoot it because I'm after a deer. Like, if I'm turkey hunting, I want a turkey hunt. Like, I want to kill a turkey in season. You know, I'm not going to go to turkey hunting and shoot a deer. You know, it's, I mean, if it's legal, then sure, you know, but
I've been tempted many times. There was our second year turkey hunting, I think it was. We're sitting in this patch of trees. No, I'm sitting in a patch of trees, and then Cam is a little bit further behind me in a patch of trees. And I had deer from me to you just walk right by me. And that's, I'm just crazy, looking at him going, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, the shotgun would do damage.
So what would be, let's go back to kind of what you've hunted. What would be your dream hunt? Like, number one on the bucket list of hunts, what are you chasing? Where at?
Alaskan moose would be a dream. Or going to New Mexico or Utah and getting a giant, you know, 7x7 bull elk, you know, from 40 yards away. Those are my dreams. Those are something that, you know, I feel like everyone has dreams, and a lot of people think that they're not achievable, so they stop it. But if you have a dream, pray about it. And if you pray and you full trust and put your faith in God, God's going to make a way. It doesn't matter if it's in 20 years, because you can't just hope it's going to happen like that. You have to be patient. And that's something that God is kind of put on my shoulders, is patience, something that's making me practice. I'm praying for patience, but he's giving me opportunities to be patient, you know. And so my dream is either an Alaskan moose or an elk hunt. Those are the two things that I have in my bucket list, and all with a bow. You know, I don't want to go rifle hunting. I want to do it. I want to spot and stalk with a bow and get, you know, my blood pumping 40 yards, if that's, you know, the magic number. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God willing, it happens. But dreams are achievable. Just, it all depends on how hard you're willing to work for it.
Oh, yeah. And especially hunts like those. I mean, you have to put in the work. You have to, I mean, me and the buddies who went out there this year to elk hunt, we put in the work. And then, you know, you work out, you're in the gym, you're shooting your bow, but then you get there and it's not a walk in a park in the park. Oh, there.
Yeah, it's completely different.
I mean, we put over 100 miles on our boots in about a little over a week.
And what, you have like, what, 50 pounds in your pack at all times?
Anywhere from probably 10 to 50 pounds, depending on what our goal was that day.
And then you pack out if you get one. You're,
and the pack outs were, I only had to do it twice, and one was a really light. It was like the remains of just like the scrap meat that we pulled. But one was like head, antlers, and everything, and that was a haul. But yeah, I don't really know where to go from here. So let's.
What are your guys's dream hunts? I know you said you're maybe, hopefully, going somewhere.
Hopefully going. We won't announce that yet because it's not official.
Yeah.
But there are plans in the works of making a pretty cool hunt happen. But honestly, my dream hunt was a Colorado elk.
That's like, awesome.
In the video, you don't really see as much of it just because there was it was just pointless to add it. But like, I called Madison, I was just in tears because I went hunting with my dad for the first time when I was probably 8 years old. And from then on, it was just kind of like, man, someday an elk would be cool to hunt. Like, those are cool animals. And believe it or not, I'd never seen a bull elk. I'd only seen cow elk anytime I'm in Colorado. So first time I see a bull elk, opening day, opening morning, opening hour, you know, we get to arrow a 5x5. And I was fortunate enough to be the one to take the shot, but I definitely wouldn't have been able to do it without the other two there. And to get on video and stuff was just better. Added to it. So that was my, like, dream hunt, and I'm content with that.
Yeah, I wasn't as interested in elk hunting until Austin went. I'll admit that. I don't know if I would say that is my dream hunt. I mean, it's something that I would love to do, but I'm honestly still sort of stuck in the whitetail phase of things, and I just want to go to other states and hunt whitetail. Yeah. You know, I think going and killing an elk would be awesome. It's something I want to do. There are fishing trips that I want to do. I'd love to go sturgeon fishing at some point.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of like on my bucket list. I want to go peacock bass fishing in Mexico. That's something else I want
to
do.
I honestly thought you were going to say peacock hunting, and I was going to be like, wait, that's a thing? You
think turkey hunting is hard. Yeah. But yeah, and one thing I haven't done that I would like to do, not really with a specific species, but I want to do more like stalking. That's something that I haven't done. Spot and stalk hunting, it looks like it's a ton of fun. I like the aspect of like putting in work to go kill something. I think that would be really rewarding. So there are a couple things out there, but I'd like to kill a big whitetail in Kansas, and I might have a chance to go to Iowa this year. So
that's awesome.
I don't know that I told you that or not.
No, you haven't told me that.
Oh, dang. I don't know that it'll be bow or not. It might be muzzleloader.
I don't even care.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How'd you score that?
So Andrew, his wife's grandparents have land up there.
That's and so cool.
Now that like we kind of have gotten him into hunting, it's one of my real good buddies.
Yeah.
Austin's friends with him too, but we got him his first deer this year. And
that's sick.
It was sick. But now he's got the itch, like he's hooked. And so he's mentioned it in passing a couple of times. He's like, hey, they've got this place, like they'd let us come up here. So I'm trying to stay on him about it.
Andrew, listen, I gave you a full camo set. So where's my invite? No, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You'll have to record that because Iowa, the land of giants.
I tell you what, I think kind of like what you said when it comes down to having the dream hunt, even for me, you know, because I could probably sit here and say, you know, either in the near future or whenever God wants would be the moose to the elk hunt. But like you said, going to different states, you know, even like doing door knocks, like Seek One, going to Kansas or Iowa, you know, my boss has land in both states, even just like getting some buddies together. Like us three, getting some buddies, some close friends that I just love spending time with, and going to Kansas or Iowa, you know, hanging hunts like 400 yards apart from each other, and just like being able to call each other, like, oh my gosh, I just got a giant, and having that fellowship, friendship, and just overall excitement together, that's the ultimate dream. Being able to share it with each other, and that even goes like if I'm hunting, you know, at my land. And I know you're hunting up somewhere and you get a giant or I get a giant or you shoot one and we're just, you know, we get on a group call like, oh my gosh, you won't believe it. Look at this hoss that I just smoked.
I ditched Cam and Andrew this year because one of the guys on the team called me and goes, I just smoked a giant. Turns out he didn't smoke the giant. That story's been told on the podcast before. But I took off. I used my kayak to access this place where I was hunting. So I get in my kayak, I paddle over as fast as I can, which it was like probably 300 yards I had to paddle over, get over, take my kayak out, and head 2 hours north to meet him and start tracking this deer. And it was just like, that part makes it a lot of fun is because it, you know, I grew up playing soccer, team sport, and it's having like the Just One team is turned hunting into kind of a team sport where we're celebrating each other's successes, and then meeting guys like you who, you know, give me that call and go, dude, I just smoked one. And heck, we do that with does too. Like doze. It's like,
no shame.
Smoked one.
Yeah. I think I did that this year.
It's been fun. And then like having Cam like join me in hunting, because I was hunting a little bit more before he was, and then kind of introduced him. But now him and I will go and we'll climb the same tree. And it's like, dude, we really honestly don't care who shoots it. But fortunately, the past 2 years, I've tagged out early on a buck, so he's got the shot at a buck. But still, it's been fun hanging in the same tree and going,
oh yeah,
hey, there's a deer. And then like the first deer we killed this year, got it all on video. I was watching that video the other day of him just wasting this doe at like 7 yards.
Oh man.
And it was just like, this is that same hunt we had bucks, like small bucks come and like fight, and or not really fight, it was early, take but like spar on. Under us, and it was just so cool. Like we're in the same tree talking, going, dude, what is happening right now? Because no lie, that hunt there were like 8 bucks under us.
It was awesome. It's definitely way better getting to like do it with other people. There's definitely a place for going by yourself, like you were talking about early on, where you can just be at peace and enjoy God's creation. It's quiet. But it's also cool getting to experience that with other people. Like one of the like most fun hunts that I've had have been with Austin, because we've been together. But like even this past season, we all went up to Truman, and like one of the fun things we did is we just went to Pizza Hut one night, and that was as fun as anything else. And we didn't, at that point, we hadn't even killed anything. It was the next morning. But just getting to experience it with other people, like going out to elk hunt, it would be awesome to do by yourself, but at least for me personally, I don't know that I would even really want to do that, because just so much of like the experience at this point, I just want to do it with other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's like kind of the spot that I'm in. Like I went hunting a few times by myself, but like every day I went hunting, usually my brother was out there with me somewhere else on the property, you know? So, you know, like I'm not alone here. I have someone who I can, you know, I can give a call and say, oh my gosh, I shot one, come help me track it, or this and that. It's better when it's in an experience with somebody else who you can share that moment with, because that creates memories that you're never going to forget. No matter what tough times I'm going through, like I'm going through a tough time right now, and I just get to sit back and think of all the good times that I shared with that person. Mm-hmm. You know, that makes it much better. Yeah. And, you know, it goes to hunting. If I'm hunting with my buddies, or if I ever get the chance and we're hunting together, then, you know, sharing those memories together is going to create a bond that's never going to break. And I just think that that's the key to having a successful hunt. It doesn't come down to shooting one or scoring the giant 200 inch that you've been tracking for 2 years. It's all about the relationship, and it's all about just sharing it with somebody and having that support.
Yeah. There was a TV show I watched, How I Met Your Mother, the Barney in it, terrible guy, terrible show too, but he's always about having these legendary nights. And one of the final episodes, he says, he's like talking to his friends, and he goes, or maybe it was his, like he was talking to someone, and he goes, always remember, it was not legendary unless your friends were there to see it. And that kind of just stuck out. It was like, you know, the elk hunt would have been a blast. I would have accomplished a goal, but I became brothers with those guys. Like we were friends. Now we're bonded because I mean, 2 days after the elk, like that, pretty much they packed my elk out for me. And then 2 days after, I tore my ab or something. Like it was weird. I all of a sudden I had this sharp pain, and literally I had to use my trekking poles with nothing on my back to get out. And we're 2 miles deep. And they're all carrying my gear. You know, they quite literally picked me up and carried me out of the mountains. And I did the same for them at multiple times during that trip. And, you know, it's just, there's something about doing that when you're hunting and having that person there to come celebrate with you or cheer you on that makes it special. And I mean, that's one reason that we love having like the team with us and meeting guys like you, is because now we have a bigger community to share it with and go, dude, I just smoked this giant. Or, dude, guess what I saw tonight while hunting? I had, like, a black bear come under me or something like that. You know, it's just, or even sending trail cam pictures. It's so much fun, like, getting them.
Yeah.
But, like, Cam has my pictures, and we'll text each other. Like, he'll see the pictures before I will sometimes and text me and be like, dude, check out this buck that came on your camera. And I'm like, wait, what? It's just kind of that fun camaraderie that you have in the outdoors. So we're kind of getting long on time. I'm getting hungry. So we'll wrap this up the same way we do everyone with and around our campfire. And pretty much it's that last bit of advice that or last story. Pretty much we're sitting around a campfire and you're sharing. So last piece of advice or a story that you'd want to share.
I think last piece of advice that I can give anybody out there when it comes to hunting and when it comes to really just anything in life, if it's a decision you want to make and it's something that's going to require some thought process or anything, like whether you're going backcountry or hunting a new state or anything, don't hold back from getting God involved. Pray about it. Fast about it if you have to. I'm not saying everyone has to fast to hear answers from God, but having that established relationship with the Lord helps tremendously when it comes to relationships you build with people and when it comes to your hunts, because I will sit here and say from experience, I have seen more success and I've had more friendships built through faith than I have without. And that's all I can really say. Just if God's at the center, anything is possible. Any dream can come true. Any hunt is going to happen if you have your faith firmly built on that rock.
Amen, brother. No, that's a good word. That's a good word.
Threw Cam on the spot there.
No, you're good. I mean, that's a good piece of advice because I think a lot of people and even believers look at like hunting as a hobby. And, you know, it's easy to casually say, you know, I feel God's presence when I'm out in nature or, I'm enjoying his creation. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're like involving him in those passions and those pursuits. And like going on an elk hunt, that's a big decision. That's definitely something that should require prayer and fasting, honestly. So I appreciate your perspective and just for sharing that because it's a good piece of advice. Honestly, really thank you for being on. And dude, it's awesome to connect with you. I like shooting your bow a lot.
that's really why he likes you. It's like, you let me shoot your bow.
You let me shoot both of them. Two awesome bows. And I mean, I'm excited to be able to hunt with you. Wasn't really thinking about next deer season until I came here tonight and shot those bows and then got someone else to hunt with next year. I mean, I'm already pumped. So thank you for your time, man.
Thank you guys for having me out. I could say it's been a blessing. You know, I prayed for a long time for God to open some doors and I really, really, truly believe that he did. And I can't thank you guys enough for letting me come on and just kind of be a part of today and take up a little bit of your time and kind of have some fellowship and shoot some bows a little bit. So much fun.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun times this fall.
I really thought you were going to leave it with, yeah.
You and me this spring, all right? We're going to get a bird.
We're going to get one.
Hey, we might just start praying and fasting now.
Let's do it.
Let's get a head start here.
it's what is it? February 26th. It's 6:46. This is when it starts.
We're doing it without Trevin's help, too.
Yeah, we don't need that guy.
Yeah, no. That guy.
We love Idiot. Trevin. No, we love you, yeah, Trevin.
We love you, Trevin.
Hey, thanks for adding me on Snapchat, man. He added me on Snapchat, and we're all looking at the mic right now like he's going to say something.
It's like, wait, Trevin can hear us?
Yeah. All right, guys. You know the drill. Don't give up. All it takes is just one. We'll catch you on the next one.